Okay, hello everyone and welcome. Welcome to the Paleo Awakening. My name is Seneth Blackard and I am the founder of Real Raw You and the creator of the Paleo Awakening Summit. On these calls, we are going to be creating a blueprint for the new planet and the new you. And there's no other person that I think is more aligned with the message of the Real Raw You than Mariel Hemingway and her work, not just through Mariel's Kitchen, but also Running with Nature. Both books are available on Amazon, and we will have links in the emails. I'm just tickled pink to have her on the call. Wait until you hear the story. Now, I also have Darius Barazande getting on the line. We'll be hearing him ask her several questions. So let's go ahead and get started. Mariel, you really take an inside-out approach to nutrition and holistic living. I know that you've had a few struggles growing up. Would you be willing to share a little bit about how you overcame that and how you got into this work with this beautiful, delicious of ease and flow?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I think I'm not unique to the world. I think most everybody has something that they came from that was challenging for them in their childhood. And I got a particular set of circumstances, you know, a lot of addiction, alcoholism, drug abuse from my sisters. And, there's mental illness in the family. There's 7 suicides. My mother had cancer. My father had heart disease. There was a lot of, stuff that I think a lot of people have to deal with in their lives. And it was really, I was the primary caregiver of my mother when she had cancer when I was a child. So I really was very close to, it really kind of guided me towards health and wellness. I really was always on a search to find ways to be healthier. I didn't always do the right things, but it's what has led me to be who I am today, which is, really finding a path of health and wellness through organic farms and farming and locally grown food and through how you move your body and how you wake up in your day, how you move into your day, the things that you do at home, the thoughts that you have, everything. I believe everything that we do has a relationship to everything else. You know, all of our life is connected to every other part. So I don't take anything separately. So it's very important to just, connect with every part of you. And when you start to make healthy and right connections with your food, with your body, with the way that you live your life, everything starts to mirror that in your life. Nothing is separate. Once you have done enough work on yourself and moved into the world enough, you start to realize that this idea of separation is what's preventing you from having a whole life. That's why they talk about a holistic life, and I talk about a holistic life. You begin to understand that each piece works into the next piece, and when you find balance with all of those things, and you create balance in every aspect of your life, it shows up in every other part of your life. It just mirrors everything else. But how you feel on the inside and the way that you feel not only physically but the mental thoughts that you have really do resonate and project into the universe. And it's very important to understand that we do have a dark side and we have a light side, neither one of them being bad or wrong. It's just that that's what we're made up of. We're made up of lightness and dark. We're made up of, things that are considered not as good and things that we consider good, the duality of ourselves is what makes us, it's our humanity. It's, that's who we are. It makes us unique individuals. So I talk about that in regard to actually acknowledging our dark side, because if you disempower it and you try to push it away and you try to think positively around it, you actually don't. It gets worse. It makes it worse in your life, because anything that you push away comes back at you with tremendous force. So the acknowledgement of what is saying, hey, today I don't feel so good about this, and something like that is not going well. It doesn't mean that you're having a bad attitude about it, but But acknowledging how you feel in a moment is very important to being present and having awareness of what's going on. Then you move to what you want, and that can be totally in a positive vein. But I think the 90s were sort of about positive thinking, which is not bad, but it disempowers our wholeness. You know, because we're made up of all these different shadows and light and all these different things, so we need to acknowledge what it is. So, you know, things that I think of is, you know, the thoughts that you have before you go to bed are extremely important, because you can actually program your day following day by just creating what you want to create. That's, you know, manifesting from yourself, not manifesting from a false place, but it's manifesting from your soul. And you know, something like Ben Franklin did it. So it's a very cool thing to be able to do, because it really sets out your day. And especially people that are yearning for success or yearning for something to work and putting a business together, or merely just trying to be a good parent or a good wife or a good, you know, husband, something, you know, showing up, how you show up and the thoughts that you think are powerful.
The thing I wanted to ask you about was, how did you go into yourself and really connect to that authentic self and give that to the world? Because that's what so many people on these calls want to do.
Well, you know, I think the journey of finding yourself has many facets. I mean, I think probably one of the most powerful connections that I make in my life is my connection to nature. And that sounds kind of like, where does that come from? But my ability to connect with nature through the food that I eat, through going out into nature and actually being silent, listening to, you know, what nature gives us, you know, the sound of the wind, the smells, the feel of the earth beneath your feet. It sounds quirky and weird, but those kinds of things actually ground you in your body. And you want to be in your body in order to be authentic. You can't be authentic if you're not actually in yourself. Because then you come from thoughts that are outside of you. You become the mind. Not that the mind is bad, it's a great tool, but to be authentically yourself, you have to be in your body, you have to be in your heart. And in order to do that, my way is to connect through nature. That's the way I feel most powerfully bonded to myself, and it empowers me.
You know, we're all connected through nature. We are of nature, so that would make perfect sense. I love that.
Well, you know, I mean, things like, you know, observing sunrises and sunsets, the electromagnetic field really actually does something chemical to the body and the brain that sets you into your body, is transformative, turns on the hormones of the pineal gland. The first light and the last light of the day is extremely powerful for just, you know, manifestation, healing, all kinds of things happen.
I always tell people to write their affirmations first thing in the morning or last thing before they go to bed, because I've heard that the mind is in more of an open state.
Well, at the beginning of the day, of course, you're in the more quiet part of the day. You know, it's when it's been said that that's when the engines are off. And it's not just the technology, it's actually the brain. You know, the brains of all the millions of people that are on the planet have slowed down. They're calmer at those times. So at night and in the morning is when you're much more receptive. So it's like I said, if you think whatever you want to have happen the following day, it's the same as writing an affirmation or, you know, writing what you want, writing your plans, writing your dreams, vision boards and things done at specific times have a tremendous power and success.
You came from an environment where at a young age you were starring in movies, and you've been in the Hollywood environment. How is that different than where you are now? And I guess where I'm going with this is that there's so many people that have been, I might as well be controversial here, and say hypnotized by the notion that having a certain status or having certain connections or a certain level of traditional wealth means that you have it all. Yet I'm not really hearing you so much talk about those experiences, but really these much more deeper experiences. And so Can you kind of shed some distinction on that and how maybe that's played into your journey?
Well, I actually think that if anything, you know, Hollywood and whatever wealth comes from that and celebrity and stuff, like it's the least satisfying, it's the least sort of substantive thing in my life. You know, I never think of it as the thing that really was a powerful force in my life. I think it's taught me a lot, and I actually love it as a tool to learn more about myself. But you know, I really think that, you know, especially in our society, we sort of look at celebrity and we look at the wealth that comes from, you know, your 15 minutes of fame, or maybe you get a whole hour, or maybe you get, you know, maybe you get several decades of it. But it's really not a lifestyle. You know, I mean, there are many celebrities out there that are incredibly beautiful people, and they're talented, and they use their talent well, and they're, you know, they're connected at a deep level. But then there are those that are not connected, and it's not their fault. It's just that they're trying to find their meaning through what they do instead of finding meaning within themselves, or finding their meaning through what other people think of them. And for me, you know, my personal thing is that my opportunity here is in what I'm doing with health and wellness, is it's my opportunity to help others to make a difference in their lives so that they can realize their own full potential to be healthy, vibrant, successful, wealthy, and happy, you know, and play in their lives. It's because I feel like if you have the ability, or you're put in a position, the ability to inspire, not because I'm so fabulous, but to say, look, I've had these experiences. I'm just like you. I'm not better than you. I'm not cooler than you. I'm not anything. But I have experiences very similar to you, and I want to inspire people to know that I've never been happier in my life. You know, I'm almost 50. And I feel younger than I've ever felt. I feel more inspired by my own life, and I think that's inspiring to others because I've had a lot of experiences and done a lot of really weird things, but I think it's led me to feeling really incredible about my life and who I am, and I feel younger than I've ever felt, and I feel, you know, just focused and aware, at least today.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, and I think that's so important. Yeah, we're real happy to have you, because so much of what people are dealing with right now is they're looking at the external circumstances, the external world, and that is basically affecting their happiness, and for a lot of kids out there, their self-worth. And so if I don't look a certain way, or I don't have a certain thing, then I am not worthy. And here you are saying, no, what really has given me so much great peace and contentment these days are the things that came from within.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the most priceless thing that we can share with our young people, because, you know, that's when the planet will begin to change, when we begin to give from our authentic selves and we create societies based on that.
Well, and I think what's really inspiring to people is especially now, because you're right, you know, it's everything outside ourselves. You know, you've got to be as skinny as the person on the cover of the magazine, and you've got to, you know, you've got to have the money of so and so and this and that. And it's everybody. We look up to people that we can't be, but well, who we can be is ourselves, and we can have success within ourselves. But it's not a success that's going to look like mine or yours or somebody else's. Success is unique to each individual. Health is unique to each individual. Spirituality, connection with the divine, is personal and individual. So it's about inspiring people to find their authenticity by trusting that it's within them. And I do it through how people actually physically live their lives. What food are they eating? You know, what kind of movement do they do? Because I believe that can clear the chemistry in your brain, so you actually can be in tune with your internal voice, your inner voice that guides you. We all have an inner voice that guides us perfectly. We've been sort of trained out of listening to it. As children, we listen to our inner voice until our, you know, parents teach us not to, you know. And as children, you know, children laugh, you know, over 300 times a day, and the average adult laughs less than 15. Mm. When you think about that spontaneity and that vibrancy that a child has, we have every ability to go back to that kind of feeling and authentic self if we just focus on things like laughing, like having fun. It sounds ridiculous, but those kinds of things actually make our lives more successful.
If you could share with our listeners, what are some rituals that you've done that you do every day to help you stay in that authentic place and clear the clutter and really connect to that inner voice?
I mean, one of the things that I mentioned before is getting up with the sunrise. Very important. Sometimes in the winter, you do it less because it's darker and, you know, the body wants to hibernate. But for the most part, getting up with the sunrise is really a powerful tool to, you know, staying within yourself. What you eat in the morning, whether you take some silence, which I do. You know, I get up with sunrise, I'll sit in silence, or I'll do some, you know, very light, easy yoga poses or something like that, and then I'll sit quietly, and I say silence because some people get, like, overwhelmed by the idea of meditation, you know, so I say, look, you can be quiet for at least 5 minutes, you know, because anybody can do that, anybody can find 5 minutes where they can be quiet and really listen to their breath, to nature, to the outdoors, to the inside of your house, whatever it is. You have the time to take for yourself, which is really powerful and important time, because when we slow our lives down, it actually gives us space. You create space by giving yourself, you know, by giving yourself time and space. You actually are able to focus, and you become far more aware in your life. When you actually slow down, you know, we're taught that our multitasking is this fabulous thing, but the fact of the matter is, most of us, and I'm very guilty of this myself, when we're doing all these different things at one time, we're never doing one thing that well.
Exactly.
So when you actually focus, when you give yourself some space, when you give yourself some time by slowing down, you do what you're doing when you're doing it, and you do it well. You do it with consciousness. You do it with awareness. And when you do that, that leads to, you know, more awareness in everything you do, and you feel better about your day. You don't get that sense of overwhelm that happens with so many people. And it happened, you know, when I was raising the girls, it was like there was, you know, there's this juggle that happens. But you can prevent that, and I do it with myself all the time. I remind myself to slow down, to close my eyes, to shut my computer down, and take 2 to 5 minutes of silence in the middle of the day. Or do some sit-ups, or do some jumping jacks, or do all of them, just to bring some vitality back to my body, turn my hormones on, and get focused. It clarifies the brain. It makes you sharper, and it makes you able to do other things better.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because you're more present.
Mhm.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a huge yogi. I have been practicing with Baron Baptiste for quite some years. I saw that you did something with Rodney Yee.
I did. I did a yoga video. We taught a thing called Yoga Now with for Gayam. And it was a great experience. I studied with him for many years, and then we just decided to do a project together, and it was really fun. And, you know, I'm still a yoga teacher. I do workshops and stuff, but mostly I focus on lifestyle. I really don't consider myself a fabulous yoga teacher, but what I do like to focus on is how yoga can teach you how to be in your body and how to be more present.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, Baron's fantastic. He's
yeah.
You know, he's one of the great power yogis.
Yeah. Well, he was really the person that awoke me. It was in one of his workshops, and he, you know, had us work out for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, and then we would go off and journal, and he'd ask us the most powerful questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, I just remember journaling and pouring out tears, and it was just like, I was just so unhappy in my corporate job at the time, and I just didn't see a way out. And, you know, through journaling and him asking and just breaking our bodies down, it really, really moved me.
Total awakening, because the body holds every emotional memory, and it holds everything. Your body knows exactly what's going on with you. It knows what's happening in the future. It knows everything that happened in the past, and it stored it all. And so for us to, like you did, you know, break it down and then go actually bring voice to it, even if it's through writing, which is really, for me, really super powerful, it's such an amazing experience.
Oh yeah.
What I love about what you're teaching is, because so many people may say, well, yoga, that sounds kind of out there and esoteric, but you're really, for a lot of people, drove home that to be more effective in what you do and in your day and what you deliberately create, just that act of slowing down and being present, whether you get that through yoga practice or through journaling or writing or just taking a moment of silence, allows you to really connect to that inner power, that inner
yeah.
self. And that really, you know, the message of our calls is that the new wealth is about creating from that place. And so what that means is that's already inside of you. You don't need to have anything else outside of you to connect to that place.
Well, that's why I wanted to do this. I was so excited when I looked on the website. I was like, oh, my God, because that's exactly what it is. It's really about it's a consciousness. There's awareness. And I think there's been a sort of a spiritual, unless you're a monk in the Himalayas, there's no reason that we can't be successful, but have it come from the right place. You know, have it come from a sense of sharing and you know, just being more of ourselves and sharing more of ourselves. It has a deeper root.
I had a chance to meet Richard Branson about a couple of weeks ago, and he was one of the most present people that I've ever experienced in my life.
Isn't he? He's fantastic.
So,
I love him. So regular, so like right there with you.
Yeah. He can just open his eyes and you feel really seen.
Yeah.
Very seen.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about your being green, because you have a passion that I've seen through some of what you do and your books about teaching people that being green really starts from where you eat, what you eat, but that food isn't really just about, you know, how it's going to make you look, but about how you feel and how you almost love yourself. And so could you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I think the first step into being green is how you eat.
Okay.
And, you know, what is the connection that you're making to the food that you're eating? You know, it's something that we do every day, and sometimes we underestimate the power that food and our connection with it has in every aspect of our lives. We do it, you know, most people 3 times a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, but it's something that's very, very much a part of our lives. So my belief is that when you start to connect with your food, where does it come from? Am I eating organically? Am I supporting a local farmer? I mean, I personally have invested in a local farm within, you know, 50 miles of my home, because I think that's actually an important thing to think about, is when you invest, a green investment is one that is close to home.
Yeah.
Mm. And also the power of investing in a farm for me is that I know where the animals come from. I know they're treated well. I know that the produce is really fine. I mean, not everybody has that option, but it's a wonderful way to start the process of becoming more ecology minded by just, you know, by investing or just investing in your time in the food that you eat. How does it make you feel? How is it prepared? That's why I wrote this book, Mariel's Kitchen, which is a cookbook, but it's more than that. It's how to green your life, how to green your kitchen, how to green yourself so that you move into the world in a different kind of way. You start to go, oh, wait, my food has this effect on me. I realize my food is in the environment. The environment is not treated well all the time. What is the water table like? Like, I really want to know where I live and the effect that my environment and my place has on the external environment. But it's based on how I feel on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
I loved how you shared at the beginning of your book about having, you know, your obsession with food, and when you took out diet soda and caffeine and sugar, then the emotions changed.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's so important for us to see the connection.
Oh, my God. If people only knew that diet drinks and high sodium, you know, fast foods, you know, processed, you know, deep fried, all these different foods have a chemical effect on the brain. So coming from a home where there was tremendous mental illness and suicidal tendencies, I was terrified of what I put into my mouth because I knew the powerful effect that food has on people. And I really know, you know, I'm not saying that somebody with real, you know, psychotic problems can do it without drugs, but I can certainly tell you that the effect that our food has on them will have a profound effect on treatment. And I talk about that with mental, you know, in mental health events all the time, the powerful lifestyle choices. Because food is a drug. You put it into your, you know, food is medicine. Food is a drug. We put an Advil in our body, and 20 minutes later, you don't have a headache. So you put, you know, you put a Big Mac or, you know, some fried something, it has an effect. We've been anesthetized to that effect because, you know, we desensitized our bodies because there's been so many pollutants in it. But to think that our food doesn't have the exact same effect is naivete, and it's actually not being conscious. And conscious eating really leads to, you know, conscious health and conscious everything. So it's very powerful, the effect that food has on us.
And so many people eat, unfortunately, because of emotional blocks or emotional triggers that food may have, like such as comfort foods and things like that. And so we're really covering things versus experiencing them and bringing them to light and then releasing them.
Absolutely. And I too, you know, there's always things that people want to do with food. I grew up in a house where food was a substitute for love. And that's what I've learned over the many years that I've been on the planet is that, you know, I wanted to create a world and a family and a lifestyle for myself where food came from love. It wasn't a substitute for love. It came from love. It was, it came from the earth from love. It is brought to you from a place of ritual and careful attention. That kind of food is very powerful, very healing, and you just can't imagine how it affects every aspect of your life.
I have to love that. Well, taking that thought for a moment, if you could sit down with your grandfather, Ernest Hemingway, and share a meal, what discoveries or revelations might you share with him?
Wow. Well, I think what would be really interesting, I'm producing, it's funny you say that, I'm producing one of his books into a feature called A Movable Feast. So if I were to sit down with him, and I've said this before, I think that my grandfather, you know, he lived in the 50s, basically. He killed himself in 1961, but he lived in the 40s and the 50s. It was a different generation. I think if he were to be alive today, because you look at his writing, he was very connected to nature. He loved food, obviously. It was a tremendous passion for him. I think he would be an environmentalist. And you know, I think there was I think that he would be, you know, he would have a different focus if he lived in this generation. So I think that we would have a very, very cohesive, very, very powerful conversation of, there would be so much like-mindedness. You know, I mean, people think, oh, he was a hunter and he, you know, went out and it was a time where there was a lot of animals and it was a
That's
different
right.
focus, you know. I don't think he would do that now. He would have a different consciousness. I think he had tremendous compassion, but he observed life in a very hyper, aware way, and he observed life from an abstract way. It wasn't the intellectual, you know. He didn't come from that. He didn't go to a great college, and he used to be embarrassed by that. But that actually, his thinking came from a much more profound and sort of abstract place. So I think that I would love to sit down with him. In other words,
you said something once on an interview that really hit home with me, and it really touched me in a way that personally. It was almost like you brought some things to light in my life that it floored me. And I've never heard it said before, and I hope I got it right and took good notes. But you said something about the distinction between creation through self-denial and then creation through almost like abundant living or self-love or just being abundant and joyous, and there being a distinction there. And I've spent a good deal of my life, you know, in my writings, I'm an author, and a lot of it would come from this place of believing that I had to deny and, you know, really push and go through all this stuff to really create But you had.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Feelings. Yeah.
Well, I think that we all come from sort of an upbringing that says, you know, if we're not suffering, we're not doing well. So the self-denial and feeling bad about ourselves is sort of what's ingrained in us. And if I suffer, I feel better, I'm more successful, and I've come through the pain. It's not that we don't have that, you know. I mean, sometimes that's what connects people. It's what brings you to your knees and makes you more conscious.
Yes.
But beyond that, I don't believe that consciousness and vitality and success and joy of life needs to come through pain and suffering. It's just a belief system that we have. It's because we were brought up that way, and our parents were brought up that way, and their parents were brought up that way. But it doesn't have to be like that. I truly believe that through joy and happiness and compassion, as long as you stay aware and don't fall into like ego, which is, you know, it's a fine line,
yeah,
then you can really be prosperous and healthy and happy through joy and compassion and love. I mean, if you meet His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he's a man that just promotes being joyful, being present, and being happy, smiling. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the Buddhist practice is far more in depth than that, but basically he's saying your happiness is within you right now. Our self-awareness is in us right now. There's nothing to find. It's already there. So when you start quit denying and making yourself bad and wrong, you realize that you're already where you want to be. We're in the present moment. We're already here. So I really believe that to connect with ourselves in the now is hugely powerful.
To go through this massive denial or to constrict yourself. It's really about taking what you are and maximizing that, being present to it, sharing it with the world, sharing it through kindness, and then allowing that to create this prosperity, abundance, and passion in your life. What would be one big takeaway that you'd want people to get from their time here with you?
I have to ask myself, like, what's most important to me? Well, I would say for me, my connection to nature is the most important thing, and if people have the ability to do that, they would shift their lives profoundly. If they were just able, you know, and I'm not saying that they need to go to the Himalayas. I'm saying just connect with, you know, your neighborhood outside and find some silence in your day, even if it's just 5 minutes. It has a profound effect on your life, and it really shifts your life hugely. So I would say if there was one thing you took away is that you were inspired to go out into nature at least a couple times a week and really, really be present with it, because nature has a lot to teach us. Everything in nature has been done for thousands and thousands of years. It knows how to do it really well. It's much better at dealing with disease and everything else than we are. So if you can connect with nature, you begin to connect with yourself in a more profound way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's really personal medicine.
Yeah, and
yeah,
so many people are disconnected because, you know, of the way they work and their lifestyle, getting up, you know, and hitting the freeway at the crack of dawn and so on and so forth. And it's no wonder that we find ourselves many times really disconnected from what we really are and disconnected from our ability to create real authentic value.
The prison that we create in our mind by the lifestyle we lead, or the lifestyle that leads us. And you want to be the leader of your own lifestyle. You don't want somebody else leading it.
And so many people, I've heard it both ways. So many people said, well, I want to change the planet. I want to end hunger. I want to do this. And really now the time is really just to start with yourself and the people around you. We can look at some of the world's problems and they seem so daunting, but what can we do right now? What can we do in this moment to make something better? Do you kind of feel that way too, that people need to begin with themselves? And
well, that's the outward? Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard me say this before. It's like I get overwhelmed. You know, I hear Al Gore talk and the polar ice caps are melting and you just think, oh, you know, what the hell? There's nothing I can do. What, you know, I'm lost. I'm just a little person. And yeah, you are a little person, but the thing is, the little things that we do for ourselves and ourselves in our own environment, how we live our lives, our lifestyle has an effect on the matrix of the universe. What you do personally really affects your, you know, you personally, then it affects your children, your environment around you. That's huge. Mm. That network goes out and changes things. If you become conscious of how you're living your life. So I say, start with you.
Okay. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the call. Just wanted to tell you a little bit about the program. If you don't have it yet, a lot of you do. It's really exciting. The Paleo Summit Program. You can get it at paleo.realrawyou.com/access. And if you scroll on down to the bottom of that page, you'll see everyone's beautiful face and awakening their life through food and health and nourishment of body. And you can go ahead and get everything plus the first call for my Naked program and a bunch of my Inner Circle calls. That includes some of my Awesomeness calls, which is like a meditative journey. So get to explore that as well. It's just $47 for the VIP pass upgrade. So if you like listening and you want to listen and have it in your personal library to listen to at any time, please support this program and go ahead and get the package. Again, it's paleo.realrawyou.com/access. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this call.